Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, Chair.
Yes, morning, Mujaji. How are you, Mujaji?
I'm fine, thanks, Chair. How are you?
I'm good. I was still... Yeah, I think we're now full house. Ik is ons aangebreid. Ik weet hoe aangebreid dat het ook niet is. I'm checking. Honorable Hadeve, good morning. Honorable Brink.
Good morning, Chair.
Yes, morning to you too. Honorable Director.
Morning, Chair.
I greet you.
Good morning, Chair.
Honorable Director. Honorable Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Chair.
Honorable Mkalipi, good morning.
Morning, Chairperson.
Honorable Mpumza, good morning.
Good morning, Chair. How are you?
I'm good. Honorable Khunevat, good morning.
Morning, Chairperson.
Whom did I miss? Did I miss anyone? Those are the colleagues I can see in our midst. Then I want to...
You miss the Honorable Mamphiz and Honorable Doe.
I don't see them.
They're not yet here, Chair. I'm trying to check up on them.
Okay. Let me then, in the meantime, deal with apologies. We have got an apology, a standing one from Honorable Mabika, still off sick. Princess Buthelezi has got a bereavement. The minister had prior commitments. The DG has departmental commitments. Mr. Mohale will lead the delegation from the department. MEC Sekwati to prolonged official commitments. HOD Pratt will lead the delegation. Councillor Shai will join the meeting in the evening due to prior commitments. That's the Chairperson Musalda. So those are the apologies that I'm giving. That's fine. Chief of Staff.
Please register my
Chief of Staff.
Chair. I'll be joining the Chief's Forum at 10 and come back when you are not finished.
By the way, today is Wednesday. Okay.
Yes.
Morning, Chair.
Yes.
Hey, we are in the problem of load shedding here, Chair. Yo, in network, it better.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Fine.
Morning, Chairperson. Yes. Morning, Chairperson.
Yes.
Morning, Chairperson. We have actually sent an apology for the MEC to. The secretary, I'm sure she has received it last week already, and we indicated that the MEC will be attending EXCO cluster meetings and will only be able to join the after evening session together with the HOD. because some of those sessions the MEC is actually presiding over, Honorable Chairperson, and apologies for that. Shireen, I'm sure, has the apology.
Yeah, I was wondering because I saw it last week, and the DDG Mujaji is here to lead the delegation. Okay. From the MEC's office, we're expecting from the Tsikokuni District Municipality, the executive mayor. Is the executive mayor here with the delegation?
Yes, the executive mayor is here.
Okay. And then from Fitahomu, we're expecting the mayor. Is the mayor in our midst? With the
yes, good morning, Chairperson. Yes, the mayor for Fetakomo Dubat is here. I've seen the CFO. I have not noticed the presence of the MM.
you rather make sure that the MM attends the meeting. Just get what you need to get him be more ready to the meeting.
Okay, I will do so.
Morning, Chairperson. Makuritama is here with my delegation. Thank you very much.
Can we see you? Can we see you, Major? Can we see you?
Yeah, morning, Chair. I'm here and I'm with my delegation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can we get a yes on Ephraim Mukhale? Is the mayor here with the team? Ephraim Mukhale? No one?
Yeah, Chairperson. That Mukhale, I just communicated. Ephraim Mukhale, they are trying this to be coming, but they just started to log in about 2 minutes ago. So give them time. I think they should be in, all of them, shortly. They had the problems of linkages. Thanks.
Can you open to speak on your behalf because the municipality shared the same name with you, Mr. Mukhale? It's okay. Let's move. Elias Mswaledi.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Chairperson. The mayor is here with her delegation.
You have to deal with that sound now. It's very disruptive. I think it's so many gadgets that are there. Can you attend to it? We can hear you.
We'll attend to that.
Yes. You can hear there's a background inside that. So many gadgets at the same time. You'll deal with that. Okay. Then the SAGA delegation, as I said, the deputy chairperson is here together with the TDO. As I said, a provincial treasury is going to be led by Mr. Gavin Pratt with the team. Dr. Malakela is here leading the Limpopo delegation from COCTA. And then the office of the AG is represented by Mr. Stephen Kelele, Business Executive, Limpopo Unit. Whom did I not introduce? Who feed? Oh, the team. Mr. Mwale, you are leading the team from DCOC. I've seen the minister's advisors as well. They are here. We should then be getting going under the circumstances. Can I deal with the house rule quickly? We have been dealing with this, all of us. That's the new normal. Make sure that our gadgets are on mute unless you are recognized by the chairperson. If you want to eat or do other things, make sure that also your video is off so that we don't see whatever you are doing at the background. And normally our meetings are broadcasted and then we always give us feedback. We had an incident where in a mayor was trying to respond, but using a cell phone. So you must make sure that you keep your cell phone, even if you're using a cell phone, it doesn't look like you are playing with your cell phone, whereas you're in a meeting. So those are some of the things that, and then there is a raise your hand icon. On there, that icon written more. I'll prefer that we all raise their hands. I'll recognize you. If you can't do that, just write a text on the chat. I'll always be checking my chat. Then colleagues interfering me, calling me, it looks, sounds like we've been in this for quite some time now. We're able to do this better. So having said that, I want to welcome all of you. I believe the colleagues from Ephraim Mogale will be logging in. As and when they're logging in, I felt we need to first deal with the following. You will recall, colleagues, as a committee, we previously conducted an oversight visit to Ephraim Mogale, Fitako Mutuvatse, and Elias Mutualegi in October 2019 as part of our effort to extract consequence management in respect of those municipalities that had illegally invested monies into the VBS Mutual Bank during the 2017-18 financial year. Ephraim Mogale had written off 84 million of investments, while Fitako Mutuvatse also registered impairments amounting to 243 million. This affected service delivery negatively and caused much community unrest. With regard to Elias Mutualegi, we are mindful of the fact that you managed to withdraw your investment before the bank collapsed. But as a municipality, you lost 48,000 in interest. We continue to emphasize these investment losses because communities continue to suffer the service delivery consequences as a result of that. A somewhat mitigating factor is that none of the municipalities in the district received disclaimed or adverse audit opinion in respect of the 2017-18, 2018-19 financial year. At the same time, it's concerning that only Makudu Tamar improved to a better audit outcome in 2018-19. We commend the municipality for achieving this outcome without using consultants. Tsikukune District, Ephraim Mogale, and Elias Mutualegi, on the other hand, regressed from unqualified audits in 2017-18 to qualified audits in 2018-19. Elias Mutualegi regressed despite hiring consultants at a cost of 11 million to assist with the preparation of annual financial statements and asset management related challenges. This was despite the municipality having officials employed in the asset management unit. With regard to Fitako Mutuvatse, it stagnated on a qualified audit over the last three financial years. The committee is also familiar with some of the challenges in Fitako Mutuvatse following our oversight visit to the municipality in October 2019. As well as our follow-up engagement with the municipality on the 4th of December 2020 as part of our efforts to assess the financial viability of the municipal amalgamation. On both occasions as we interacted with this municipality, we noted tensions arising from poor handling of the amalgamation of Chitakum Greater Tobata Municipality, including pay disparities amongst employees in the same grade. It is also good to hear that the municipality has since resolved these disparities through the implementation of a job evaluation initiative. What remains concerning, however, is the municipality's institutional instability, which has seen three constitutional interventions in less than 5 years. As indicated in the municipality's reports, 7 municipal managers and 7 chief financial officers over the last 10 years. This means that the incumbents did not last for more than 3 years in their positions, resulting in poor institutional memory. The committee intends to engage robustly on all of the above issues that I've raised above to ensure that we identify the root causes of the challenges as well as the appropriate solution to address these matters. So with these few words, I want to welcome all of you colleagues. This is how we are going to deal with these matters. We'll first allow the AG to present a high-level summary on the audit. Then we'll allow Dr. Makalela to make an overview presentation from COXA's side. Then HOD Gavin Pratt will do the same. And then DCOC National will make a presentation. Then we'll allow Salma to be the last to present. What we have done from your own report, we normally don't prefer you to, as municipality, to make presentations. Members will interact, they've read their presentation, you can be rest assured. Then they will raise questions that then you need to answer. Then when you do that, you can then refer to your presentations. This is how we are going to deal with these matters. Then I'll hand over to the AG to be the one that starts with the presentations, and then we'll proceed in that order. Over to you, AG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just trying to get my camera on. There's something that's challenging me here, Chairperson, on getting the camera on, but let me put up the presentation in the meantime while I try to sort that out. All right, I think it's on. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me then now share the presentation. Is it visible on your side, Chair?
Yes, it is. It is. You can press it.
All right. Thank you very much. I would like to thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to come and make the presentation. I think, Chair, you have already alluded to the fact that we will do a high-level one. What we have done is we have done a consolidated presentation. That talks to the overall outcomes, but as you have alluded to them, you will see that there are some differences in the specifics. So what we have also done is we have made separate slide presentations for the different municipalities. So you have one on Makuta Makgafetsa Kgomo, Ephraim Mogale, Elias Mutualedi, as well as on Sekhukhune. And I think in there we have tried to go in as much in detail as possible so that we empower the committee to be able to actually go deeper into the issues. With that, I would like to also perhaps introduce the colleagues that are with me. With me in present now is Karin, Karine is our SLM, and she is the one who liaises with us and assists us with getting in touch with the external stakeholders, including your office. And we have Mr. Mohamed Essa, who is my deputy business executive. He will just join a little bit later, Honorable Chair, because he had to take his father out to hospital first. So thanks very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And the presentation then that we have, we'll start with the reputational promise, Chair. The reputational promise still remains the same. We still strive to be the Supreme Audit Institute that we are, and we strengthen the democracy by enabling oversight and accountability as well as governance through the reports that we do. And this session is but one of those sessions that we attempt to strengthen the democracy through, Chair. So, Chair, I will spend some time right away on this slide that is reflecting the slide 4. And here, Chair, we're seeing the overall picture of the outcomes of the district. And you will see, Chair, when you look at the far left on the blocks, you will see that we have a big chunk of the purple color as well as now the other yellow chunk, a smaller chunk of the yellow. So the yellow one is the unqualified opinions that we have issued, to Makudu Tamaha. And the purple ones are the ones with qualified audits, as well as they have other findings. And there we find Sikukune Elias, Motsoaledi, Ephraim Mogale, and Fetakgo Motobatsi. And I think, Chair, you have already alluded to, because when you look at the middle block is the results as we had them in 17-18. So if you look at 17-18, there was a bigger chunk, there was a promising trend in comparison to 16-17, because you see the yellow chunk was a bit increasing, which suggested that if you look at the portfolio at large, you were seeing a picture of auditees migrating into the unqualified category, which is also but one of the ones that is better than the purple one. And what you now see in comparison with 17-18 and 18-19, there you start realizing that almost the picture turns around, and you find that the municipalities then regress. If you look at Sikukune, as you've alluded, has already regressed from an unqualified position into a qualification. If you look at Elias Motsoaledi also regressed. Ephraim Mogale also regressed. In fact, what we see an improvement on Makudu Tamaha, as you have already alluded to. If we then look, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, on this picture, we depict it as a regression overall. So we're saying as an overall, the district has regressed, and also indicated that with this regression, there came a number of non-compliances that happened. One of the non-compliances that we pay particular attention on is one of the submission of financial set of statements. And the reason why we always reflect on that one, Chair, is because we always say the set of financial statements or financial data at large is an information that you use in year to make your decisions, and it guides or directs your plans and your direction. So if that information is not credible at any given point in time, but it has to wait for audit, which comes at the end, back end of the process, to get it credible, it suggests that the decisions that we make as leadership, as management, would predominantly be based on information that is not credible. And that always poses a risk of finding yourself engaging in wrong decisions and finding yourself not necessarily addressing the issues that you need to be addressing. We also, Chair, Honorable Chair, reflect on, we also then reflected on the utilization of consultants from that set of financial statements that we receive. So from the set of the quality of the set of financial statements that we received, we always consider to say, okay, who attends in the preparation, in the assistance of the preparation of those set of financial statements. And as you alluded rightly, Honorable Chair, we realized that Makulu Tamara was the only one that did not engage a consultant in the preparation of the financial statements. And quite frankly, they also are the ones that who witnessed an improvement. So that is quite encouraging, Chair, because it suggests that within the municipalities, we still have some skill that is able to produce credible set of financial statements ultimately. And Chair, if you look at then the quality of that financial statements, then we realize that all the set of financial statements that we interacted with, which were submitted to audit, did indeed have material misstatements, and there had to be changes, and that was for all of them. So it is indeed, that is why, Chair, we really say, if you look at the overall outcomes of the portfolio, it indicates a regression, and a one that is underpinned by, obviously, a lapse on internal controls that we'll talk to a bit. Chair, through you, and if you allow, I will then proceed to the next slides. The next couple of slides, Chair, are exactly the same as those that we submitted. What we just did was we tried to compress them so that we don't overwhelm the committee with a lot of slides, but still pick out the issues that we have identified. So if you look at this slide, Chair, that is presented, it will show that it is reflecting now the Sekhukhune district as well as Ephraim Makgale. And what we have done, Chair, is we have picked up on items that have led in the qualifications of these municipalities. We have also reflected that you will see that there are periods that we reflect on. Those periods suggest the year in which they had those qualifications. So if you take Sekhukhune district, you will see that it had those three qualifications there, and those three qualifications talk to 18-19 outcomes. If you look at Ephraim Makgale as a congress, you will see that they had a qualification on 18-19 on commitment, and they also had a qualification in the prior year. So that 2016-17 indicates that in 16-17 outcomes, they had a qualification on property, plant, and equipment, which means if you look at then 17-18, which is missing there, that is the period in which they had improved and were sitting at an unqualified opinion with other findings. So that is the structure, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, of how we have depicted our slides in order to facilitate these discussions. So if you look at the items, we have given indications of what were the challenges around property, plant, and equipment. When we look at the Sekhukhune district, you find that there were some limitations there around the work in progress that we had identified. And if you look at further another qualification, it talked to the repairs and maintenance, and it's still in a way linked to assets. And we know that these assets are assets that really are meant to drive service delivery. And if you have this kind of financial lapse on internal controls around those areas, they can adversely, obviously, affect your service delivery abilities. And then we also had the general expenses, Honorable Chair, that was qualified. And with Ephraim Makgale, it is property, plant, and equipment, where we noted that there were completeness issues of finding that there are assets that are on the ground that were not accounted in their financial records. And but that was in 16-17, and in 18-19, we had issues with commitments, and where we found that some of the contracts, the commitments are still included in the contracts, were not disclosed. And if you look at Elias Motsoaledi, Honorable Chair, it is this one. And because they are quite lengthy, I think on your slides, they would even cover two slides. We just condensed them to try and make them one slide. But the information that is contained therein, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, remain exactly the same. The same picture is depicted with Elias Motsoaledi. It was qualified in 16-17, and in 17-18, it improved. but it went back, it regressed back into a qualification now in 18-19. And if you look at the items that resulted in the qualifications in 18-19, we still have property, plant and equipment as well, where we could not necessarily reconcile the items that supported the financial statements from their asset registers. They also had a qualification on finance lease, allowances for impairments, impairments talking to how you valued your assets. And we had issues with the provision for the landfill. And we have also issues on revenue. And we had issues on the power purchases and cash flow. So we kind of like had quite a number of issues. So what we have done in the Elias Motsoaledi presentations that we have provided, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is to expand more on those particular qualifications. You'll see here we just pick up and lift the message where we say for land provision, for example, we had a limitations of some form of information that we could not find on leases. The accounting treatment was not necessarily in aligned with the requirements of the reporting standards. And we've already alluded to property, plant and equipment where we could not reconcile the information that's set in the financial statements to the underlying records being the asset register. So you find material discrepancies between those two set of information. And we also then had instances of revenue from exchange where we did not identify that all revenues were accounted for. And in that same light, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we then proceed to the next slide that looks at Feta Khomo Tubatsi. And we've also still tried to maintain the same standard. So if you look at Feta Khomo Tubatsi, you'll see that property, plant and equipment had an issue in 18-19, but this one had an issue consistently even in 16-17 as well as in 17-18. So there is an excited effort that is required, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, to enhance the internal controls and internal environment around the assets, and more around safeguarding, more around making sure that your details, your underlying info, information tied up in your set of financial statements, and you are able to account for all the assets that are within your control and that you are utilizing to provide service deliveries on. And you will also see, Honorable Chair, that we also had issues around debtors or receivables, as we call them. They're particularly looking at how they would assess them for impairments where there are long outstanding debts. The standard always requires us to sit up straight and reflect and say to ourselves, given this trend of payments that we're seeing from our customers, how confident are we that we will recover the full amount given the financial pressures that they probably find themselves in, or given the history of non-payment? Because that then allows you to kind of like make informed decision of saying, I perhaps would be a bit wiser if I don't necessarily expect a full-on collection from this receivable to utilize back in my service delivery, because I know that my receivables are struggling, that there's still a responsibility on the accounting officers to ensure that they collect, to ensure that they put excited effort to collect that. But it allows them in reflecting on whether they would have enough cash recovered from the receivables to proceed with their normal operations. And Chair, we also had issues around revenue and receivables, where we realized that not all property rates revenues were adequately accounted for, and we had some significant differences with the underlying information that we had to look at between on the revenue from the exchange transaction. So I think, Chair, if you look at this, you start seeing that you have prevalent issues around property, plant and equipment. You have prevalent issues around the revenue. We have already introduced now the challenges around the financial recovery of the receivables, and those are the issues that you will see they continue to proceed or continue to reflect themselves within the the district. So with the Homo Tubasi, you'll see that it is continued with all that additional qualifications that we had noted around contingent liabilities. So these contingent liabilities, Chair, are ones that we ought to be quite close to in assessing them, because what it suggests is that there could be some liability, legitimate liabilities that come out of the activities or the events that we have engaged in that could put pressure on our cash flows, particularly because it becomes quite a difficult exercise to actually budget for some of this kind of contingent liabilities. So it's something that we need to keep close to and ensure that we account for it in as much accuracy as possible, because it then starts we then start making informed projections about whether we have adequate cash to meet any eventualities should those contingent liabilities immediately convert into payables at that particular time. And then we already start introducing Makurutamaha, but we know Makurutamaha only had a qualification in the prior year, and in the current year they did not have a qualification. So those are the issues that Chair, there are challenges around in them from the financial statements point of view. If you look at financial reporting as well, Honorable Chair, that talks to the predetermined objectives that the entities reflect on, you also see that we have issues in all of this, all of the municipalities that we had that we looked at, and we have included the details therein on the specifics around in the specific presentations that we make on this municipalities. I think Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the critical aspect that we always take away from the predetermined objectives is they are closest information that you get to the service delivery, because here the municipality sets their targets to say this is what we will go and achieve given the set this set budget available for us, and given that this is how we have reflected and this is what we have achieved and not achieved, and this is how the spending has gone and in line. So you are able to draw great relations between the spend being the financial statements and the achievement in the predetermined objectives. And I think that when you find that the reliability of the information coming out of that is questionable, then it starts really making that exercise quite difficult, and it also starts making difficult for us as leadership within these municipalities to make decisions of saying we have at least covered this ground, we still need to cover this ground, let us make plans around that and see how we can do that. But we have given details, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, fully within the individual individual presentations that we have prepared for the committee. Honorable Chair, if you allow me, then I'll move swiftly to the compliance on legislations. So on the compliance of legislations, there are a couple of issues. So we tried to depict this in a form of a summary. You will see that this one is not there included there in there in the ones that we sent, but the information, the underlying information is exactly the same as what you have, Honorable Chair. We just sought to paint a picture, probably one slide to indicate where are the areas of concerns. So if you look at our focus area, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is those ones that are depicted up there on the blue area, and we have the quality of the annual financial statements, we have expenditure management, we have revenue, assets management, human resource procurement, and consequence management, Honorable Chair. And if you look at them, we have put them nicely on the far left to depict the municipalities, and then scatter where there are issues, where we picked up the issues, Honorable Chair. You will see that from the quality of the set of financial statements that we receive, which is that first row, we have issues with all of the municipalities, as we have already alluded to that. On the expenditure management, we also have issues on all the municipalities. On revenue management, we have issues around Elias Motsoaledi, as well as Feta Homo. We have issues on assets management on Elias Motsoaledi, human resources on Elias Motsoaledi, and so forth. And procurement, we have issues on all of them. But if you will see, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, then that starts giving a good painted picture of the issues that we have. Or we also have had an issue around consequence management, Honorable Chair, and that one is depicted predominantly around Elias Motsoaledi and Makudu Tamaha. And this talks to where we have issues. Do we swiftly institute investigations? Do we ensure that those investigations are followed through in order to ensure that, one, we have corrective actions that we put in place? Because out of those investigations, and Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, you get a picture of what would have led your institutions to incur this or this unintended either expenditures or issues or qualifications in the set of financial statements, and you start putting preventative controls that will address those issues. So if you don't do that, then that process of corrective actions becomes delayed. But equally so, Honorable Chair, the consequences that you then have to administer to all the wrongdoers so that you ensure that behavior is kept and never proceeds. So this paints, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, a full picture on the issues that we have found in the district. And then the following slide then talks to the specific issues that we would have found around those issues. We did indicate, have already alluded to the quality of annual financial statements. I won't dwell that much on those ones. We have identified that all municipalities had an issue there on expenditure management, particularly looking at the incurrence of irregular expenditures. We had issues on all the municipalities, and we then had procurement on contract management issues that we picked up on the Sukuni districts, where there were some contracts that were processed that were not adjudicated by the adjudication committees, as examples, Honorable Chair, or where you had not put in place an adjudication committee that was composed in line with the requirements of the regulations and so forth. So there's those litany of challenges that we had, but we have depicted them quite well, Honorable Chair, for you and the committee. If you also look at Elias Motsoaledi, we have done it in the same way. Again, we still have the two that were in all the others. We still have contract management where the triple PPFA was not applied adequately. We have revenue and asset management, as we had already alluded to on that main picture, as well as on human resource management, where we said there were no adequate processes to look at the performance management and to evaluate that process. And here, Honorable Chair, that is, as you link it back to the slide that I would have presented, you see that thread that runs across on all on the issues on the focus areas that we had highlighted. So you start to see that there is prevalence. There's an issue in most of those focus areas that we had identified when you're looking at Elias Motsoaledi. Then we also have same reflections, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, on Ephraim Mogale, where we see that there is still those two that are there. There's still consequence management that is not come in place, and we have already indicated that where these consequence management are not followed through, you first lose a chance of putting corrective actions, and then you also lose on the ability to actually put deterring measures against the perpetrators, so that can at least deal with any other person who thinks of or tries to contemplate to do some irregularities. And then we also picked up the procurement and contract management issues, where you had suppliers applying or themselves in construction, but they were not registered with CIDB. We have awards that were made to persons or directors who were in business with who we had their employees doing business with the state, or rather being employed within the state. The state. So that conflict of interest type kind of like comes between the service providers as well as the state. And we also had deviations went through, but there were no, it wasn't impractical to invite competitive bids, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And Honorable Members, we continue in the same might on the others. Fetakhom Thubatsi, you'll see that there's also a lot of things there that also we picked up. We also picked up that the conditional grants on the INEP were not necessarily utilized for the intended purposes. We also then still had issues around procurement and contract management. Honorable Chair, it still again talks to the evaluation processes. It still talks to ensuring that the suppliers that you are awarding to, the directors thereon, are not somewhere found within the state employ, and we still have we still had issues here. We had an issue in particular around the specifications, where you look at the specifications and you find that these specifications are designed in such a way that really eliminates fair competition and kind of like allows for biasness in the manner in which it will be evaluated thereafter. And equally so, we still have issues around expenditure management, the incurrence of irregular expenditure, the non-payment of suppliers within 30 days, Honorable Chair. It puts pressure, obviously, on the small, medium enterprises, and it strains their financial ability. It's always something that we pick up on just to make sure that the state engages in a fair and a proper way with all other businesses, inclusive of the small and medium enterprises, Honorable Chair. And the details are there, Honorable Chair, and the details are also included in the individual slides that we have. Similar here, Honorable Chair, with Makulu Tamara, where we still picked up the issues. We have already spoken about consequence management. We have spoken about procurement and contract management, where competitive bids were not necessarily advertised here for a period that was required by prescripts, and reasons or justifiable reasons then could not be advanced on why that was the case. Then I will proceed, Honorable Chair, if you allow me, to look and reflect on the internal control status. So what we usually do, Honorable Chair, is we look at the internal controls, and in particular, we focus on the internal controls that leads into the production of financial statements, that leads into the safeguarding of compliance environment, as well as that leads to the predetermined objectives outcomes. And you will see that when you look at the picture, you can see that there is a much more comfort, or rather there's still more that is really done at when you look at effective leadership, with obviously the exception of Ephraim Mogale. But you start seeing that when you come into the financial performance management, which really talks to the financial disciplines that are applied on a daily basis to ensure that there is credible financial statements that are out there, there's credible information, predetermined information that is out there, there are adequate processes to deter any non-compliance issues around the prescripts that we need to comply with, you realize that we are more red than any other color. You'll see that only the yellow ones there around proper record keeping, those ones that were picked up there. But if you go into daily and monitoring controls, the reconciliations that you need to do between your assets, between your cash and so forth, so you find that those are not necessarily done consistently throughout within the district. Obviously, with the exception of Makulu Tamara, where they are still doing it, but we still say there are concerns. But in mostly, we advocate for intervention, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And then from the risk assessment, we see that the practice is picking up. And I think it can only be strengthened, and they can strengthen it, but it's still of a concern on a couple of the municipalities that we have engaged in. So I think, Honorable Chair, this, when you sit back and you look at it, you can already start seeing that their financial disciplines that needs to be embedded on a daily basis are not embedded. And that is why it talks then to the outcome where we say all of the financial statements that were presented required some material adjustment. We have issues throughout against around issues of expenditure management and so forth. And so that is what this picture also supports, that Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Here we then looked at the assurance providers and whether do they really provide assurance, Honorable Chair, and we'll see that again we are still sitting at an area where we say, well, there is some assurance that is provided, but we really are still lacking a lot of areas where we can safely say the systems that we have adopted, the processes that we have put in place, the controls that we have built in allow us to relax because they are there to safeguard the activities of the day. Obviously, with the exception of Sikukuni there sitting on green at executive and audit committee levels. So thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll proceed then on that one. Honorable Chair, the other issue that we look at the financial health of this institution. It is usually referred to as investment, and we see whether these entities are going concerns. We know, obviously, within the public sector, that assessment is slightly different from how it is applied outright in public sector, given that there's always a government that will probably, that will more likely than not, try to find solutions for the municipalities and try to make sure that they can still continue to provide the services to the users. But however, it is some principle, Honorable Chair, that we already need to start talking to. You will recall in my discussion earlier when I looked at the set of financial information that was provided, we said, if you do not have controls or this daily financial disciplines that allows you to have credible financial information at any given point in time throughout the financial year, you are sitting with a potential challenge that you might make your decisions based on information that is not credible. And any decisions that are made out of information that is not credible are more likely than not to lead in incorrect applications or incorrect remedies that you try and put in place. And that links very well, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, with the set of information here to say that financial data talks then to abilities to continue as a municipality if you would not get any bailouts from the state, and or if you would not get any interventions from the fiscals. And that talks to some of these challenges where we start realizing that the total revenue on the grants, it's this much, but you start seeing that the expenditure is increasing quite well, quite strongly, and you start finding yourself having either limited surplus or even going into a deficit. And if you go into the deficit, then already you're saying your expenditures are way more than what you are sitting in your revenue, and that you will see is depicted quite well there on the Makudu Tamara local municipality, where it is already into that position. But I think, Honorable Chair, also linked to this, you now also need to look at obviously the health within the cash balance. But even though the health within the cash balance still did not a significant issue, but these are signs that we need to start paying attention around those things. You need to probably start having some kind of like healthy surpluses that you have linked together with the cash that you have. So, Honorable Chair, then this depicts that financial health. The one that is mainly concerning there, if you start looking at it, is the one that starts saying the municipality incurred a deficit, which then talks to Makudu Tamara there as reflected, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, the financial health also links or gets affected by obviously spending in areas that you ought not to have spent or spend out of the out of budget or spend out of things that did not require you to be spending on. And that talks to unauthorized expenditure, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. You will see that while we realize that it has reduced significantly in comparison to the previous year, but it is still relatively high, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. It still currently sits at about 3 million consolidated in this district municipality, which is again still something that can put pressure on the ability to provide services, particularly when you are not spending in the areas that provide service delivery over this budget and so forth, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And we also reflected at the bottom there, Honorable Chair, while you have the details in the specific slides, we also then reflected on saying, okay, who have already started with investigations around these areas and who have not started with it. And you will see that Makhudu Tamaha had not yet started with the investigations. And it will then start talking as well to those consequence management where we said we still need, we still see some area of improvement or that consequence management still remained an issue within the, our compliance issue at Makhudu Tamaha. It still talks to some of these issues, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The same thing happens, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, with fruitless and wasteful expenditures. Fruitless and wasteful expenditures, by its lame definition, says you have spent the money and you have not gained any services and you could have prevented it. You will see that here, Honorable Chair, we are talking a different picture from what we were talking at unauthorized expenditures. Here we are talking a significant increase, Honorable Chair, a significant increase in comparison with last year. And by its definition, it says we have spent that much money, but we have not gotten any services, any benefit in return for that. It talks to about 1.2 billion, Honorable Chair, which you will agree with me, it's a significant issue. And equally here, we start looking at whether the entities or rather the municipalities have already engaged in the processes of understanding and investigations to get an understanding of why these things happen and where are the areas that they need to keep plugging on their controls and who are the people that they need to hold responsible for this wastage. And there we reflected that Ephraim Mokgale had not yet started with those investigations. Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Then I'll proceed to irregular expenditures, Honorable Chair. Irregular expenditure is also an increase. The increase is not that significant, but again, Honorable Chair, you'll agree with me that it's still a huge figure. It's 216 or 17 odd million, Honorable Chair. It's still a significant amount here, Honorable Chair. And here, Honorable Chair, irregular expenditure in its nature does not necessarily mean there is some wastages that were there. However, there could be wastages, Honorable Chair, in the sense that if you were supposed to go through a competitive bid and you did not go through a competitive bid, in most cases, most often than not, you'll find that you are not able to ascertain whether you have really gotten the services or the goods at the best price. And it could mean if you have not gotten it at the best price that there is elements, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, of wasted monies. But by definition itself, we could not say it was fruitless and wasteful because it was just the one where you had not complied with some form of prescript that is required. But those prescripts are designed in such a way that they strengthen the control environment, they safeguard and give us the best value for money. And if you don't observe them, you may find yourself walking outside of those frameworks that it has. Again, in the same light, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member, we reflect on whether there has been investigations that have been conducted. And then, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I'm almost about to complete now. When we complete, we then sit back, Honorable Chair, and we look at what are the root causes that could deal with this? I noted, Honorable Chair, that in your opening remarks, you did allude to the fact that the intention with this session is to get to the root causes so that we start assisting the municipalities to plug in those levels. You will see that, Honorable Chair, there are some vacancies that are there at CFO level, which is quite a critical position, Honorable Chair. Those are the ones that we already start saying without those skills there, then it becomes quite difficult to start harnessing a behavior that, one, talks to firming the internal control environment, and two, also one that can deal and can be held accountable on the issues of any non-compliances that are identified. So we've identified those vacancies, Honorable Chair, around those. We have also, Honorable Chair, noted that there's challenges around implementing consequence management. With that huge amount of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Honorable Chair, with the significant irregular expenditure and the unauthorized expenditures, we surely need to ensure that there's swift institution of an investigation, there is swift closure of that so that we can pay attention on improving the system, we can pay attention on recovering the monies, we can pay attention on dealing with the perpetrators so that we send a strong message, Honorable Chair, to all the people involved in the administrative processes. And then, Honorable Chair, then we also then look at, as management, one of the important things that one needs to constantly do is to look at your environment and look at it from a risk point of view. You'd recall, Honorable Chair, when we reflected on the governance structures, we said, if you look at the risk management area, there are some traction there that is happening, although it is not still at the right level. But those risk assessments, Honorable Chair, they need to start identifying the real issues within the municipality so that we can start addressing that. So if management does not constantly go into that mode of saying, let me sift through my environment and identify what are the controls that are not operating as I intended them to operate, or there are some circumventions around them, or the design totally does not talk to my environment, given the progression and the evolution of my processes, then you will find challenges. You will find that picture that we depicted in that other slide when we were looking at the financial disciplines, there where you have no green area around the financial disciplines. You are just sitting in requires intervention and is concerning. And the area that requires intervention is even much more greater than the one that you say is of concern. So once you don't do that as a principled leadership, then you open yourself obviously to those what we reported then earlier in those financial disciplines that are not happening on a daily basis to ensure that there is improvement in the control environment. Honorable Chair, that is what we have for you on the overall presentations. As I've already alluded, Honorable Chair, that we have provided the details on each slide, on each municipality, where we went even in much further detail. So if you want to know, for example, to say, what is the extent of the consultant usage in rent terms, we have attempted to include them there, Honorable Chair, so that we can empower the committee in the exercise. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will pause at this moment and take guidance from you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Sincerely appreciated. Yeah, it always gives comfort in terms of the report that you produce. I think the rest, the committee members will see. And for now, I think we're fine. You've covered holistically what we wanted to to understand from your side. ADSE. Your reports are user-friendly, so empowering, and it has, they assist us to do our oversight. Thank you so much. Can I thank you so much. Then load the Limpopo Coxta presentation and hand over to DDG Mujaji to deal with that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Members of the Committee, Executive Mayor, Mayors, Team AGSA, and colleagues. Good morning. We'll do the presentation on the support that has been provided by the Department to the municipalities within Sekhukhune District as requested. I'm trying to now move to the next slide. The presentation will focus on the infrastructure management support, institutional capacity support, financial management support, council support, special planning and LED. And I think when the BE was presenting, he has already touched on a number of issues, particularly when we come to the finance and the audit side, which when I come to that part of some of the slide age. She managed to spend 60.1. Also, the municipality has not been performing very well in terms of the MIC allocation. Out of the the $330 million that was allocated to the municipal financial, there's about 68.379 that was unspent, and also the municipality has been losing money. There's $30 million that was reallocated to the municipality in 2016-17 due to their good financial performance. But then the graph changed, and in the following year, there was $33 million that was then reallocated to other municipalities. 18-19 also there was a reduction by a very significant amount as well. Their spending in 17-18 was actually not well, and in 19-20 it went even further down. And it's part of the municipalities that are getting a closer supervision now, just in terms of their expenditure patterns, as you can see on that table as well. 88, 81, 96 in 18-19, but then dropped significantly in 1920s. And on average, the municipality, if you take the four-year period, has only managed to spend 80.4%. So the 68 million that was not spent, that could not be spent by the municipality. And this is just an indication of the performance of the municipality. When we look at it against the provincial performance, it is, like I said, the municipality has not been performing very well. It's spending below the provincial average. And this current financial year, 2021, is even more worrying, because as at January, the provincial average was 54.4. The municipality has only spent 26.3. And in terms of their projections, they were at least supposed to have spent 40% of their allocation. And the municipality is not doing well at all. Makudu Tamara, over the four-year period, the municipality was allocated 290 million. They managed to spend 284 million. Only 6 million was unspent for the entire period. In 2016-17, their rollover was approved, and they managed to spend all of it during 2017-18. And for the rest of the 3 years, the municipality has been spending 100%. In terms of our assessment, it is a high-performing municipality in the district. It has been getting additional funding for three consecutive years, and the figures are indicated there, Honorable Chairperson and members. 16-17, they got an additional funding of 28 million that then raised their allocation. 17-18, also they got an additional 4.4 million raised their allocation, and in 18-19 they also got an additional funding of 7 million. And just also to indicate, 19-20, though, we saw in terms of the overall provincial performance, we saw a decline in performance. They still managed to spend their allocation. If you look at the trends, there is only in 16-17 they spend 93.1, and like I said, their allocation also, their rollover that they got, they managed to spend. But their expenditure patterns are very, very, very good. Spending well above the provincial average. As a province, we have not been able, at least when you're looking at the current term of administration, we haven't been able to spend 100% of the entire provincial allocation, but the municipality has managed three consecutive years to spend 100% of their grant. And already now, even in this current financial year, the provincial average is 54.4. The normal or your average performer would have spent at least 40%, but the municipality is already at 73.9. So we are quite confident that they should be able to spend their entire allocation in this financial year. Elias Mutuale was allocated 256 million over the four financial years, out of which they managed to spend 216 million and 39.899 remain unspent. the rollover that was approved in 16-17, they were able to spend it in 17-18. They also got another rollover, which they also managed to spend. In terms of MIG performance, it's also very good performing municipality. They've been getting additional funding for 3 consecutive years. As you can see on that table, it's only 16-17. They spent 64.9. They had 25 million, which remain unspent, but from there, they've been spending above 90.9%. Obviously, we would like to see 100% expenditure, but they've been doing quite well. 1920 was a difficult year. Most of our municipalities did not spend all their allocation. Our provincial spend was around 83% or so, but they managed to spend 92.2% of their allocation. So their overall expenditure over 4 years is a little bit low, 85%, because of the poor expenditure during 2016-17 financial year. But generally, they are spending quite well on their MIG. That's just a depiction of their expenditure when you look at how much they've been spending just as the provincial spend. Even now in 2020-21, they are already above the provincial average, and they are already above what normally was the expectation as at the end of the last quarter. And we are hoping that now as we close this quarter at the end of March, they would also have improved significantly. Ephraim Mohale, also the trends depicted there. The municipality over a 4-year period was allocated 140 million. They've managed to spend 127 and 13 million of that money was not spent. The rollover that was approved in 15-16, they did manage to spend it in 16-17. There was a total of 2 million that was reallocated to other municipalities because of the financial performance. So, and that's their expenditure trend. 16-17, they managed to spend 78% of their MIG. 17-18 and 18-19, they did very well, 96 and 99 respectively. A little bit of a drop, 19-20, but it was a difficult year for most of the municipalities and just in line with the provincial average. This is the graphic representation, but if you look at how they are spending now in this current financial year, already as at the end of January, they're already at 93.3 expenditure. So they are just on course to spend all of their money, and we are quite happy with that process. This is the support that is being provided to the municipalities. From a structural and institutional arrangement point of view, we have regular meetings monthly. There are meetings at a district and provincial level. And for the other municipalities that are not spending quite well, there are one-on-one interventions. For example, municipalities like Pitahomu, Tubasi, they now have developed their turnaround plans, and they are being engaged on a one-on-one level to ensure that the expenditure improve. During these meetings, municipalities then get an opportunity to provide the progress. We identify areas of support, and the COGSTA, MISA, and other sector departments are then brought on board to then support the municipalities. We have also arranged training and workshops on project implementation value chain. Earlier on, when the BE was presenting, one of the key areas that was raised, and it's just been a focus through the COGSTA, MISA, and the GTEC support that is the support we're providing with the assistance of Treasury, has been on issues around contract and procurement management. So these are some of the interventions that are currently in place. We assess the projects for funding through the conditional grants to ensure that they meet the grant requirements, and also we monitor to ensure that projects are registered on time, they are uploaded on the MIS system, and we can then monitor progress and where necessary then intervene through a number of areas that I've already identified. On the financial management, on the AEF submission trends, in terms of the financial years, it's only in 1 year, which is the district, during 16-17, where we had one late submission, which was Pitahomu Tubasi. mainly due to their delay in submission of the asset information. But for the other financial 17, 18, 18, 19, 20, all the municipalities were able to submit their AFS on time. And they are being supported during working together with Treasury and as part of our collaboration agreement, the preparation of the AFS plans, the draft AFS are assessed, and the inputs that are then provided. The two departments also then attend the audit steering committee meetings as part of the support. Honorable Chair, I will not talk to the use of consultants to prepare annual financial statements because the BE has already spoken to that. But I think that the one area that I'd just like to mention is that part of the support that has been provided has been the training on AFS preparation, GRAP interpretation, and also, as I said, the issue on the reviewing of the draft AFS and the final ones. But I think the one area that we are also noting is that there are certain areas that municipalities might require specialized skills when they prepare their annual financial statements. But the emphasis and agreement that BE, that what the BE said is that the AFS themselves must be prepared in-house, but they can then just do it. Source for those specialized areas where it might not really be efficient for them to, municipalities to then have specialists appointed specifically just for that exercise. And those are some of the areas that have been identified as we were working on the support plan together with our colleagues in Treasury. Areas like evaluation of post-retirement benefits, evaluation of landfill sites and so on. They're not the day-to-day functions, and there might be a need here and there to get some inputs, but not a total reliance on the EFS preparations. The audit outcome trend, the BE has spoken to the audit outcome trend and some of the areas that we have also identified as part of the challenges why we are seeing regression and stagnation in some areas. I would not go through that slide, but just also said that our concern also that we've been raised is the issue around the repeat findings, because then we are observing a trend that the implementation of audit action plans is not at 100%. And as a result, you have some of those areas, most of those areas that have been identified during the audit being repeat findings and leading to this regression or stagnation in some instances. The other support that we provide is in terms of ensuring that our municipalities comply with the Municipal Property Rate Act, and in all our four local municipalities, they are complying with the MPRA. We have supported Makuri Tamara and Fitakho Mutubazi to develop valuation rules to be implemented on the 1st of July, 2021. We have supported all of them to promulgate resolution on levying of property rates. We have held engagement with all of them on the AFS preparation. I think spoken around the AFS processes. But also what we have done as a province, we have established a provincial debt forum. And what the intention of the forum is to really deal with debt owed by state departments and entities, to make sure that we address that part. And we have seen a lot of improvements, because what the intervention then is that when there are disputes and so on, we then facilitate discussions between the municipalities and the sector department or the entity to ensure that undisputed invoices are settled within a time period. We still have a big challenge, but it relates mainly to land in communal areas and rural areas. That's where we are finding a lot of challenges. Up to now, in terms of the services, for example, and so on, where there are no disputes, we are doing quite well, and we are happy with that process because of the intervention that we have put through the provincial debt forum. On council support, which is also a critical area around ensuring proper governance, oversight, we've conducted a one-day workshop with ward committee members on minutes writing, reports, communication, conflict management, and ward operational plans. We supported the wards to develop ward operational plans. We do acknowledge that just doing it one time is not sufficient, but because of capacity challenges, budgetary and so on, we're not able to do a lot of other workshops, but the ward operational plans are then meant to help wards to monitor service delivery and what issues that are affecting the various wards and be able to raise those issues with the municipalities for ensuring that they are being addressed. We ran a program where we conducted capacity building program for the speakers on their roles and responsibilities. And these are some of the capacity sessions that we've been running in partnership with SAOGA in particular, just to make sure that our speakers in particular as chairpersons of councils are quite conversant with their role and they're able to perform that role effectively. We conducted district roadshows to strengthen IGR coordination, and we further developed a district IGR internal rules to guide the operation. And that has seen our district IGR structures being functional, guided by the internal rules that, from the departmental point of view, we developed to provide guidance to the district. We have been supporting the district speakers forums and other public participation fora on the ward delimitation processes and development of policies that guide public participation and the functionality of ward committees. On institutional capacity building, we have entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Development Bank of South Africa. And in the main, it to provide support in two areas, in lending and non-lending products for a period of 5 years. We have a PMU that has got technical experts that are residing in the department now, which are the ones that will then continue to support the municipalities. For year one, these are the municipalities that have received the support from DBSA, Skukune, on the revenue enhancement program. The BE earlier on, when he was presenting on the sources of revenue and so on, the one area, for example, Skukune, we have seen that I think more than 90% of the money is from grants. And the program, like the revenue enhancement program, which is a key program in terms of this support, is to really ensure that we work on the revenue basis in municipality and increase that so that they can, municipalities can be able to raise enough revenue and render the services they are supposed to render. The other project that benefited Sikukune District Municipality is the project preparation support for the bull water supply. It is at contracting stage. Elias Mutualedi also is going to benefit from the year one program on the revenue enhanced program. Still at DBSA application stage. So when it is at the DBSA contracting stage or application stage, it means the municipality would then have submitted all the documents, and what we are waiting for is the DBSA to then finalize and get experts that are going to be working with the PMU that is within COGSA and the municipality to then help them to develop the revenue enhancement strategies and implementation plans. We started now in February 2021 to then work on the year two projects. We are going to see a lot of projects. Year one was a bit of a teething year because we started late due to disruptions by COVID, but we are going to see more programs and projects that are going to benefit most of the municipalities in year two. Together with MISA, also the department established a pilot program with the objective of building capacity in 7 municipalities. Part of this beneficiary program are Elias Mutualedi and Ephraim Mohali. The 2 municipalities received technical support on institutional service delivery and financial management. The district has also been allocated an engineer, which also support not only the district, but its local municipalities on all technical aspects. And this mainly, the engineer is from MISA. The government technical advisory center and MISA has also provided a virtual training to all the municipalities in the province on the key aspect asset management, the utilization of framework contracts, introduction of IDMS and SIGDIM, and to a very large extent was also then based on the issues that the BE has picked
as part of those findings during the audit, but also when we do an assessment on why poor expenditure in MIG. In some instances, we find that the expenditure might be high, but when we look at the actual service delivery, the correlation there is in some instances a challenge. So these are the areas that they then identified. And a lot of training has continued during the GTEC period and will continue now. On asset management, the issues of contract management and the standard infrastructure procurement delivery model. And this program is really meant to improve project planning and implementation capabilities in municipalities, because one of the things that we found during the monitoring oversight, particularly on infrastructure provision, is that the delay in project planning, either starting late or not just having your plans properly developed, leads to a poor expenditure because projects start coming late. But even when projects have been awarded, if you do not have a good system and good skills on managing the actual implementation process and contract management, that's where we have a lot of issues where projects are then stalled because of contractual issues, or you find that the SLA, the way it's developed, it does not necessarily cover the interests of the municipalities. So hence the focus on this training. We have also started with a program where through the LGCTA, we have conducted skill training programs for the MPEG and the monitoring evaluation officials. Under human resource capacity support, we are part of the District Job Evaluation Committee. This way is led by SAUGA. We support to ensure that all issues related to the job evaluation are finalized, considering the sensitivity and the instability, if not well concluded, to create a lot of labor instability, as we have seen in quite a number of municipalities. Vitahopmutu was one of them, Mohalagwen, and quite a number of municipalities. We participate in this program under the leadership of SAUGA. We have also done an assessment, IT assessment in Sekhukhune district, following a lot of financial management challenges in Sekhukhune around money that had gone missing and so on. The department, working together with the district, concluded an IT assessment to identify what the technology gaps could be in the entire value chain. And we just concluded the assessment, the detailed assessment, and it identified a number of shortcomings. The assessment found that the infrastructure is quite good. The district municipality has got good infrastructure. However, issues around IT governance, where you then deal with the issues around delineation of responsibilities, issues on how the IT systems work and so on are challenges. We are concluding the report, which will then be shared with the municipality, will then support the municipality to work on an intervention plan and support them to implement that plan to ensure that the good infrastructure that the municipality has invested in is then now used to help improve the internal controls and deal with some of those issues that the AG has actually alluded to earlier. And we continuously delegate senior managers to participate in the recruitment processes when we are invited by councils, and we have been doing that work. We on a quarterly basis also, we continue to host and convene district back to basic sessions where we then analyze the report of the municipalities in terms of the B2B and all those key pillars and provide feedback to the municipalities for them to improve. The other area where we provide support is under the development planning and local economic development. We support municipalities, all of them, to ensure that they comply with SPLUMA. And we have supported all the municipalities in the district in the development of their bylaws. They have developed their bylaws and they have gazetted them, and currently they are busy with the implementation. We have also nominated officials, town registered town planners that participate in the planning tribunals. They support the district municipal planning tribunal, which then services all the locals. And we continue to provide technical and advisory roles during the sitting of the tribunals. We have also appointed two additional officials,
that are part of the FIDACOMU towards the appeal authority in a bid to strengthen capacity and ensure functionality. FIDACOMU towards did approach us requesting for additional support, and we have two officials that are dedicated to support them to deal with their appeals. We have supported municipalities also to make sure that they have land use schemes that comply with its PLUMA. We've supported Ephraim Mohale, and today they have a credible land use scheme that is aligned to PLUMA guidelines. We are currently providing support to FIDACOMU, Elias Motsoaledi, and Makhudu Thamara. Particularly, we are also a bit concerned because if the timeline for compliance was not moved, the minister had not granted an extension, it would have been a bit of a challenge. And we are working very hard with the municipalities to make sure that they then have land use skills that are aligned to SPLUMA, and we can then fully comply as a province. We have also supported the municipality in making sure that they have a special development frameworks that are also aligned to the special planning and land use management so that the growth can be properly channeled. And we have supported Elias Motsoaledi with the conditions of establishment for all their townships. As and when they make a request for us, we have teams that are readily available. They will not go one by one. These are just some of the details. And it's not even all of the things that we do. On a daily basis, we get requests where we then have town planners that go to the municipalities to support them. Under economic development IDP support, all the district and the entire family, they managed to adopt their IDPs by end of June 2020, and the support that we have provided and we continue to provide even now with the current phase of IDPs that has started is to analyze the draft documents. We assess the final documents, we participate. Where requested, we get a lot of such requests. We then facilitate even some of the strategic planning sessions because the provincial approach has been that we use the internal resources to facilitate sessions rather than getting outsourcing that service. Local economic development, we have supported the district in compiling the district economic recovery plan, and by making sure also that it's a representative of the entire family. We have provided technical support for the review of LED strategies for Elias Motsoaledi, Ephraim Mohale, Makhudu Thamara, and Sekhukhune district. The community is the one that is a concern for us, particularly considering that the area is an earmarked industrial development zone. Sometimes we get to say SEZ because not yet gazetted, but just looking at the economic potential. The strategy is still due for development after amalgamation. It's one area that we are concerned about, and then we support as and when the need arises. We also, through the LED forum that have been established, both at the provincial level and local level, you participate and we provide support. Honorable Chair, the challenges that we have identified is firstly is the issue of insufficient capacity in some of the key units, such as finance, internal audit, and supply chain management. For example, in Ephraim Mohale, we found that there's no manager for revenue and on and so on. It becomes a challenge, and it could perhaps be one of the reasons that even when we get external service providers, maybe to be AFS also and so on, after they pull out, you still don't have if you don't have the human resource where they would have passed on the skill and the knowledge, then that gap will always remain. And it's one of the challenges that we have identified. And in all the fora that we engage with the municipalities, they are encouraged to fill the key vacancies. But I guess they're also the challenge there is always around looking at the employee cost versus those vacancies and trying to strike a balance. We have also, as COXA and Provincial Treasurer, we have a collaboration framework and an implementation plan that we have developed, where we have looked at how we align and integrate our support and oversight responsibilities to make sure that we are well aligned, and that is beginning to bear fruits for us and should help us to improve financial sustainability in the municipalities. The other challenge, and the BE has spoken to that, is the escalation of unwanted expenditure that affects the municipalities. Over and above the work that has been managed through colleagues in provincial treasury on the plans to deal with this irregular unwanted expenditures, there's also continuous training of MPECs on the investigation and just to make sure that these matters are dealt with, and ultimately the consequence management. But the area on high financial sustainability risk in municipalities, the presentation by AG also spoke to that. One of the interventions I've already spoken to is the issue on the provincial debt forum, just to make sure that the money is owed by municipalities, by government departments and entities to municipalities is recovered. We there are few municipalities where we're still having a challenge, like I said, because of the land ownership and the registration issues, and that's a significant amount that is affecting some of the municipalities. But generally on the services, we have seen a very great improvement. Under-resourced and insufficient capacity of MPECs to play oversight role. We have observed instances when we look at the work that they are doing, that they, in some instances, they are not able to finalize investigation reports because of the support that the MPECs have. The capacity building workshops that were carried out for speakers, MPEC chairpersons and mayors, Treasurer Cox and Salga, we are working on a plan to see how do we scale up the support initiatives, but also, and it has been said in a number of our IGR fora as well, that municipalities should then prioritize providing resources for MPECs because they are a very critical oversight structure. And resources from your researchers, just the office space and the basic tools to make sure that they are able to do what they are supposed to do. The other challenge, Chair, is the low revenue collection and slow registration of government properties built on communal land. On low revenue collection, I've spoken about the DBSA partnership. We are being deliberate in making sure that the elements or the instruments that we can use to create a better revenue base and should then be prioritized. So areas such as your revenue enhancement program, asset care are part of what has been provided as critical projects for municipality to be supported on. The last one, the intervention that we really require is for the Departments of Public Works, Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development to fast track the registration of the domestic facilities built on communal land. It's a pity, maybe we could have included just a slide that shows the amount of money that is owed to our municipalities because of the properties that are on communal area where no one is now paying rents. It's millions and millions, which is really affecting our municipalities because they are predominantly rural in nature. So this is the intervention that would really help most of the municipalities and to change the graph in terms of the reliance on conditional grants to improving on revenue. As our recommendations, Honorable Chair, we are recommending that the Portfolio Committee knows the report. We are also requesting the Portfolio Committee to help engage the Departments of Public Works, Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development to fast track the registration of state domestic facilities that is built on communal land, as this would improve financial viability in municipalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, DDG. Can we remove the presentation and allow Provincial Treasury to load theirs? and I'll hand over to...
Morning to all the honourable members. Chair, with your permission, the DDG Pakunsi will do the presentation, if that's allowable.
Yes, yes, you can do that.
Thank you.
Do that.
Clear off, yeah. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and also our municipalities and colleagues. Let me just try to do the slideshow. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. This is our presentation, and you know, presenting after AG and Coxter, you may run into a risk of repeating some of the issues. But when you hear me repeating, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I will just be overemphasizing on the issues as they are more similar. And we have prepared our presentation in line with the brief. And the intention is to provide a high-level synopsis of the municipal... try to remove this. Yeah, to just provide a high-level synopsis of the municipality's level of compliance, I think we'll be mostly basing our presentation on that, and also to guide the municipal decision-making processes with the intention to improve on those prescripts whereby we are not seeing that level of compliance that we are looking for, and also to brief the portfolio committee about our support and capacity building measures to our municipalities in the district. Honorable Chairperson, this is the compliance status in line with the brief. In terms of Section 18, municipalities must be funded from realistically anticipated revenue. There is a lot of work that we have been doing as the province in ensuring that municipalities comply to Section 18. On Section 75 of the Municipal Finance Management Act, the key documents and information to be placed on the municipal website. Normally, when we then visit our website, you will find that our municipalities are not fully complying to this section. And the same applies to Section 71 of the MFMA, where accounting officers must, within 10 working days after the month's end, have to submit to both national and provincial treasuries the budget statement, and you'll see that is also being partially complied to. And those goes back to the issues that if we don't update and submit this information on time, then we continue to make wrong decisions as the information that we base our decisions on is not really that credible, as it is not really talking to how the events are unfolding in our municipalities. On the municipal budgeting and reporting, Regulation 7 and 8, that municipalities must prepare budget-related policies. And also there, we have partially complied, and all our municipalities, and we can see the trend there. And certainly, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, what we want to see happening is our municipalities really being on top of their game, you know, in trying to deal with all those important issues of compliance there. In terms of Section 71 of the MFMA on contracted services, and I think DDG Mujaji touched on that, and the same to the BE also spoke to that, that we rely heavily on consultants as the province. And again, as we rely heavily on consultants, we don't see the results coming back to say we actually improve in our finances and our spending, as some are more on infrastructure implementation there. On Section 9A of the MFMA, that the accounting officer must submit to the provincial treasury and AG within 90 days of opening the bank, the bank name that has been complied to. Continuing with the compliance status, in terms of the MFMA provincial circular number 2, the submission of the in-year reports and bank records there, creditors control and debtors control, we can see that our municipalities are not complying to that. Section 166A to D of the MFMA, that each municipality and their entities must have audit committees. As a province, I think with those structures, especially in the Sekhukhune district municipalities, we are doing very well there, Honorable Chair and members. Section 21, 1B of the MFMA, that the mayor of a municipality must at least 10 months before the start of the budget year table the budget in the municipal council. Those schedules are planning also the key deadlines there that we are complying to. Section 23, 1B of the MFMA, when the annual budget has been tabled, the municipal council must consider any views of the national and the relevant provincial treasury. As I've already mentioned, that when we assess budgets of municipalities, it's a very long interaction, but what is coming up is our municipalities really going back to implement some of these views that we have shared with them, and that poses a challenge, because then we are not able to improve from our funding status moving forward. And Section 98 of the MFMA, that the accounting officer of a municipality entity must take all the reasonable steps to ensure those two bullets that are there. Let me not read what is there, but it's more around the revenue received, and also that all accounts of the entities are reconciled each month. We are not really doing these basics, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, as we see that there is non-compliance there. But as the provincial treasury, and I think all the stakeholders that are responsible in monitoring and working with municipalities, will really want to see this improving there moving forward. On support on this non-compliance, I think I've spoken to all those sections, but on Section 75, what we do is that we do that quarterly assessment, and we provide feedback on the information placed on the website. As we have already mentioned, that is a partial compliance there. Section 71, we do quarterly assessments, and we provide feedback on those findings, and we also do recommendations that we really want municipalities to implement there. On the Regulation 7, 8, 7 and 8, we review draft budget policies and we provide feedback, and also there is a partial implementation there of compliance. Circular 71, we provide the ratio analysis. Hence, we're able then to say municipalities are not complying in terms of the ratio of 2 to 5 on the appointment of consultants, that they are way above that ratio. And section 23, that will provide budget assessment feedback for consideration to our municipalities. As we can maybe, in terms of the work that we did with our municipalities, you'll be able to see there, Honorable Chair, that all our municipalities were able to receive their equitable share, and particularly our municipalities in Sekhukhune district, because we have gone into this process in just trying to assist our municipalities in terms of their budget processes there. In terms of section 98, we issued that provincial circular number 2 of 2016 to ensure that municipalities submit monthly recons and there is non-compliance there, but we are following up on issues of non-compliance letters for non-submission. And we are going to request our municipalities really to look into our recommendations as we then give them feedback on the findings, because by so doing, we'll be able to improve on this non-compliance. Just quickly on performance failures, what we've actually picked up more around institutional capacity. And without really running into repeating what colleagues have already spoken to, there are critical and strategic positions that remain vacant for longer periods, and we would want our municipalities really to look into that. And inability to recruit and retain skilled and experienced officials, as we work with budget schedules, we prepare a financial statement. But when you look into all these reports, you will find that normally there are gaps in terms of even completing the budget schedules there. The institutional memory is a challenge, because some of the officials are being rotated in the municipality, but also CFOs. I think the business executives spoke to those important vacancies there, where some of the colleagues are still acting. And that on its own really poses a challenge in terms of continuity and that institutional memory in our municipalities. Some of our municipalities, they actually lack the necessary skills and knowledge. And I think I've spoken to the type of information that we receive, ranging from the submission of financial statements, the budget schedules. As we are now more on MSCOA, you will find that even there in our municipalities, there will be a challenge. And I will talk a little bit to that as we continue with the presentation. Now, on financial management, the tabling and adopting of unfunded budget is a challenge. And what we normally do, then we go back to our municipalities. But Honorable Chair, you will see that in this district, I think we are able to make a breakthrough in terms of these unfunded budgets, as there's been improvement across the board. But in the main, there is also poor revenue collection. And DDG Mujaji touched on that in her presentation. And in the main, our water service authorities in the province, that is our district in this regard, will want them ready to take charge and lead municipalities in terms of issues around revenue collection, more on water, but also as it was already outlined in the previous presentation, that then if we don't prioritize the revenue collection, we'll continue to then run and have unfunded budget in our municipalities, and there will not really be efficiency in terms of how we are doing our work there. And the non-implementation of financial management procedures and processes, and I'll talk to these, they remain a challenge. Contract management policies, these are not in place, because then we cannot monitor our contracts, as we don't really have those contract management policies in place, and failure to submit procurement plans. You know, some of these, as we talk to them, is like a mountain to climb, you know, in our municipality, because if we cannot really still get our budget documents right now, the basics themselves, but when you talk to then submitting procurement plans, then it becomes another challenge. But we believe that as we then continue working with our municipalities, we'll be able to see an improvement there, because if we don't then submit procurement plans, then that means that we don't then implement our budget on time. Hence, we're not able to then spend on infrastructure. There is normally no alignment between the budget presented in council and what is captured into MSCOA. And our colleagues, MMs and CFOs, they know by now that we no longer then look at the paper budget, but we also look at the budget as it's captured in our data strings. And that is what National Treasury looks at, to say whether the budget is funded or not funded. So it will really be good if we can prioritize that the budget on paper and the budget that is in our data strings is also funded at that level. The lack of proper record management process and safe